What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to let you know about this wonderful platform called Anchor. It is one of the number one free podcasting platforms that allows you to both not only record, edit, and design your podcast to your needs, where you're able to push out and distribute your podcast to all your listeners across all the different podcasting platforms, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, they are connected to it, and they're a wonderful platform. It's totally free. You can check them out at anchor.fm. And with that being said, guys, let's get into this. Hey, listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode. And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and...
The Culture Sciences.
And here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between. Why people can't get right in 2023. Why certain shows should just be left alone. But I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. But first and foremost, we want to thank you guys for all the listen, shares, and subscribing and everything else. We've been growing pretty well. I noticed that we're doing decent numbers on our YouTube, but continue to check those out. All the social medias and our YouTube information will be in the show notes. With that being said, let me go ahead and introduce our guest. First and foremost, you know him, you love him. He just got off Yo Daddy's private jet doing some... Well, you know the rest. All right, Kelsey, introduce yourself.
It is I, the one who will receive your father's inheritance. It's Kelsey in the building.
Respect, respect, respect. And you know her, you love her. She's been watching a marathon of the Magic School Bus and her beige Snuggie right now. Teacher Bae, introduce yourself.
Hi, listeners. It's Teacher Bae back again.
Respect, respect. And you know him, you love him. My man knows the secret scroll to the ancient crab boil recipe himself. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
You need paprika, some seasonal, a little bit of Old Bay, and apparently the Sunny D instead of the regular Simply Orange. What, shout out to homeboy from Louisiana.
We do not support that. That is not of us. That is not of us.
Listeners, that's what we call an April Fool's joke just 2 months early. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
My name is Jeff.
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the place of subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. And keep protecting your mentals, folks. Two months in and... some crazy shit's already been happening, so protect your peace.
Yeah. On that piece, I don't know if you're going to get into it in your sports center, but thoughts and prayers and frustrations and understanding, prayers for all those who lost life at the shooting at Michigan State University recently. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to them. We tired. I know they're tired. And the craziest thing was, apparently, one of the students from, I believe it was from either the Parkland or the Sandy Hook shooting, is actually a student at the university right around the same time. I forget the exact details on that.
It was Sandy Hook.
Okay. Which, that is crazy. But we're protecting our mentals. We just want to make sure we acknowledge that. Well, what we're also going to acknowledge is, Coach of Scientists, you know our future children are going to watch The Purple Dinosaur, right?
Not this one.
Why? What's wrong with this?
We're going back to the original.
There is nothing wrong with what this one is.
I like how this one looks.
What exactly? Listeners, what you don't understand is, apparently, according to CNN Business, Barney is getting a reboot with a new look.
Is he a cartoon or is he a man in a costume?
I feel like it's going to be a cartoon.
I don't like it.
Why?
It's different. It's not Barney.
So Barney is back. And while Mattel has not officially confirmed it yet, we are guessing he still loves you. unlike some people who found out on February 15th. All right, Toy, I like Giant Mattel.
That one.
Wow, that's crazy.
Hey, I was that kid, but I loved Barney.
That's really me. All the same, basically, there was an announcement on Monday that Barney, the friendly and, let's be honest, cringeworthy to a large amount group of millennials who watch him as preschoolers, and to their parents, Purple Dinosaur is making a triumphant return to TVs and toy shelves next year. Thanks to the switch from live action to animation, he now also got great big eyes. So, before
that's what it is.
Maybe. But Mr. Smith, because you were there when they first initially started the show, you were about, what do you say, like 10, 20 years old?
You got jokes. I was only 103.
Ah, that was more than I said, but that's beside the point. You got any thoughts about that?
Again, I always look at some of the creators of this now generation, and I just keep telling myself, y'all really ran out of fucking ideas, because you just keep reusing the ones that we grew up with. One, that solidifies our childhood as being the best childhood, bar none. Generation next can suck it. Zennials can suck it. And just about anybody else past that can suck it. But then two, it's like, I think the thing that stood out about Barney was the fact that he was a person in a costume, and you know, you actually had real people, so like you could kind of identify with the kids somewhat, depending on who you were, you could identify with the kids and it kind of relates to you. Whereas with a cartoon, I just kind of feel like it's gonna lose its pizzazz, because why am I gonna look at a purple dinosaur on YouTube TV or whatever streaming service is gonna be on PBS when I'd rather do that, I forget what they're called. I think it's Gracie's Corner that does that hip-hop ABC song. Now, that shit fire. I go to that. I ain't going to this.
Either my nigga Bluey, too.
Yeah.
Bluey be got a stranglehold on children nowadays. Kelsey?
I don't know what in the Velma is going on here, but I don't like it.
Wow. we don't talk about it. It's like the Avatar movie. We don't talk about it.
I don't know who this man is. I feel like Kiki Palmer. I don't know who this man is.
That's a shame, man. But but yeah, I mean, just be on the lookout that for our future parents. Give it a chance. If you need another thing, put on their tablets so they stop messing with you. An appropriate amount of time. Don't have them watching a certain aardvark that listens to music on his side of his head and not his ears. Yes, I have beef with Arthur. I don't know why, but I do. I blame Teacher Bay.
You're right.
I'm just putting it out there. It makes no sense.
Quit it.
All right, fine. All right, so we just want to make sure we bring that out there. And before we get into our sports center, Mr. Smith and everybody else, how y'all mentals doing, man? We're doing a quick mental check-in. Anybody can go. We can popcorn it. Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Work sucks right now. Stressed like hell. You know, I been dealing with a lot regarding that. And I mean, you guys kind of saw it in the last couple of times that we talked that, you know, I've almost wanted to punch a hole in the wall, but that's neither here nor there. As of the time of this recording, Valentine's Day just passed. So me and Teacher Bay had a wonderful date last night at the Ruth's Chris.
They got money.
You want to know what was funny about that? My parents technically paid for that because I use our Christmas gift to pay for that.
Thank you.
So thank you, Daddy Smith. Thank you, Mama Smith. But yeah, it was just interesting to kind of see like how the world is kind of transitioning, where I think we counted like five or six couples off rip, where the woman's dressed to the nine. I'm talking like heels done, you know, heels on, nails popping, hair done, all that good stuff. And a nigga walked in a jogging suit. I was like,
it's a hood classic, man.
But it's like, it's just weird because it just threw off the ambiance. And I don't know what couple that was sitting diagonal from us, the next table, but homegirl was not happy at all. And apparently you called homeboy what, a dependent?
I did.
Okay, just making sure I got the right words. Yeah, we was kind of roasting homeboy because he definitely was on his phone for a smooth 15 minutes. He was playing
Candy Crush.
I don't think it was Candy Crush. It was some game he was playing, and like you could tell in her face, she was not happy in hell. That was before the drinks even came. So I'm gonna pray for that couple.
Yeah, he ain't getting no Valentine cheeks.
No, I think we both said we don't think it's him. We think it's her. We think she's settling. So he probably did get some cheeks out of just, hey, I'm here. I made it.
He Melvin Gordon, that shit. He just showed up.
Yep, I'm just here for the ride.
For the free meal.
Yeah.
You know she paid.
Right. But at the same time, that also means that he's giving quality dick. Because if he ain't got nothing else but dick, you know.
Oh no, he's slinging it like he's going out style.
I don't think
yes, Kelsey, that caught your attention.
You said what?
I don't think he was given that. He was given the tongue.
Hey, orgasm is orgasm. A win is a win.
Yeah. A win is a fucking win is a fucking win. Don't matter how you get it.
Well, she didn't seem pleased.
Emotional damage.
But Teacher Bay, how you doing?
Feeling good, actually. You know, there's this whole teacher shortage thing going on, and so at my job, it seems like we've kind of had like a rush of teachers our way. So it's been looking up. However, one did quit this week, but I think she needed to. But other than that, it's just kind of been making my job real easy. So I'm just glad we're halfway there and school is almost out.
Respect.
Waiting for snow days, though.
I don't know what those are, man. I miss those.
Can we just get one ice storm?
I know. After one ice storm, they're gonna last 2 weeks.
That's good.
I'm about to say we get ice. We get black ice, not the stuff that you put in your car. Kelsey, how are you doing?
I am doing quite well. I'm starting a new job soon, so I'm looking forward to that. That's very exciting. I think I'm most excited about leaving the mental stress of my last job behind in the dust. So, doing pretty great.
All right. Coach of Scientist, how you feeling?
You know, just taking one bite at a time. One bite at a time.
Shout out to Pastor P. I'm doing the same, man. Listeners, for those who don't know, had my family up here with us for the past few days. Mama X had to go up to New York for we had a death in the family, so she had to go up there. So my brother has been staying with us. I don't talk about him often, but it's been good to have fellowship with him and spend time with him. But rest in power to my great aunt, Mildred. I love you. And the very limited amount of time that I got to know you, I pray that we had a great relationship. But overall, I'm okay. Just having some downtime has allowed me to kind of reflect on some things. And I'll hopefully be able to implement some changes within my personal life. So we're going to see, man. Besides that, I'm doing pretty well. But you know what I do need? I do need that copyrighted music. Mrs. Smith.
All right. So it's only two real things of significance. And, you know, I've actually kind of worked on it this past week, listeners. So I'm not going to try to keep it as long as I did last time. So this past week, we had the Super Bowl, or in the event of Kelsey, we had a concert surrounded by a game, basically. So I'm gonna start with the game. Kansas City ended up winning 38-35, I believe is the score, and the game was actually pretty freaking awesome. To me, it was me, Teacher Bay, and shout out to our other mutual friend, Brother X and the Culture Scientist. Our mutual friend, we'll call her the Tiny Librarian. We all was watching it together, and that Jalen Hurts fumble was like, ooh, this is going to be good. But then, you know, he showed poise and not being rattled. So I felt like that was a good showing. However, I will say, even though, I'd say maybe about 2.5 minutes left in the game, yep, on a 3rd and 9, the Kansas City Chiefs were killing the Eagles with their wide receiver going into motion and then doing whip routes, and the corners would get confused. Well, they finally was able to stop it, but then the refs threw a penalty flag and called prior to the pass holding on defense, which at that point, the game was tied. Kansas City was already in Eagles territory, and they needed to the Eagles needed to get a stop so they could kick a field goal, and they had the full 2 minutes, maybe a minute and 40 seconds left. But because of that penalty, it gave them an automatic first down, and a lot of people were just kind of like, that's a ticky-tack-ass hold. Like, was it a hold? By textbook, yes. But would I call that with 2 minutes left to decide the Super Bowl? Me personally, no, I wouldn't. I shan't. Either way, at that point, the Kansas City Chiefs were trying to run out the clock, and the Eagles actually did the best thing they could. It was like, let him score. And shout out to Jarrett McKinnon for having the situational proudness to be like, I'm going to slide down at the 2 yard line and stop inbounds to make sure the clock still runs. To which Kansas City ended up kicking a field goal and squib kick to the Eagles, who ended up losing the game. Patrick Mahomes got his second Super Bowl MVP. So obviously that 10-year, $450 million contract, Kansas City is eating really well off of it. So, you know, the Super Bowl was good. Commercials were underwhelming. I'll say that.
That QB one really made me think something happened to the coach of scientists. Thought I changed the channel.
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, so like, but the crazy part is when a Tubi commercial came on and it flipped, I immediately was like, I'm the one that has the remote. And I know it's not me because the remote is sitting on the table. We all can see it. And then all of us is kind of looking like, someone got access to our TV? And I'm like, I feel like this is a commercial. And then lo and behold, it was. I said, okay, clever. You guys are assholes. I'm sure you just started some fights in some people's houses because of this. But, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Super Bowl was pretty good for that. And at this point now, we're going into the offseason and free agency. So we're looking forward to see what kind of moves we are going to make. Going into the – oh, I'm sticking to Teacher Bane. One other thing about the commercials. People. I understand Coinbase did that QR code last year, and it caught everybody by surprise. Everybody wanted to scan it. Not everybody needs to do a fucking QR code. Okay, I'm not going to do it for the Fox sweepstakes. I'm not going to do it for a car. I'm not going to do it for housing. I'm not going to do it. Stop. Get some help. To the NBA. And listeners, if you remember at the end of SportsCenter last week, we had a blockbuster trade of Russell Westbrook to the Utah Jazz for... who Utah Jazz sent Mike Conley and a couple of picks or a couple of players to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who ended up sending D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley and Jarrett Vanderbilt, I believe is who it is. And I was like, oh, okay. Listeners, I don't know why people do this, but like me and Brother X finished recording and was ready to call it a night. And then a Woj Bob dropped on Twitter. And it was like, Kevin Durant just got traded to the Suns. I said, you've got to be fucking shitting me. You would wait until we just finished to be like, oh yeah, here's a bomb. Take it. What? What is happening? So, yes, the Slim Reaper, a.k.a. Easy Money, Easy Sniper 35, is now AKA from Brooklyn. BDBs. Yeah, BDBs. He needs a hairbrush and some pink lotion. He ended up going to the Phoenix Suns, in which that is a super team. And I mean that, I'm sorry, the Nets, I feel like they made out the best in that one because Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, Jay Crowder, a pick swap, and 4 first round picks for one person. That's incredible. So, needless to say, it was a whole bunch of trades that just kept going on throughout the NBA. And for some reason, the theme of the year was 5 second-round picks. And I don't understand what was the significance of 5 second-round picks, but there was a lot of 5 second-round picks going on. Shout out to Brother X's Warriors, who tried – well, they are, as of the time of this recording, they are completing the trade to get Gary Payton II back. But they are also working with the NBA to investigate the fact that Portland kind of lied about Gary Payton II's ab injury, which might be more significant than what they originally faced. So whole bunch of, you know, higher, you know, going back and forth. But I will leave off with the fact that it is interesting that the Brooklyn Nets had all that cap space and all that star power. And as Brother X said, they won, what, one playoff series?
One.
And James Harden was the first to go. Then Kyrie left. And now Kevin Durant left. And it's like, damn, you guys had such potential. And now, you know, it's not looking good at all. Actually, and I'm glad that we're here. We're going to end off with this. I wanted to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. James Wiseman.
Yes.
What happened? Like, what? That trade came out of nowhere to me.
So very short version for listeners at home, for Jeff in Tennessee who has no idea about basketball. Basically, he was a second overall pick. The Warriors have been trying to add big men for a while now, but they haven't had a lot of luck developing them. I liken it to those who are basketball fans. If you watch college basketball, they're very much the Duke University of the NBA, where they have a lot of great guard play, but their big men are just basically rebounders, screen setters, outside of maybe one offensive player. And basically, he couldn't crack the rotation because the first couple of years he was injured. And then when he was playing, he just didn't fit the mold of what the Warriors do with their big men. Basically, they have all the big men basically be a lot of screeners, able to pass. They're not meant to be a focal point of their offense. So basically, after a certain point, the writing was on the wall that it was like Kerr wasn't playing them, and it wasn't because he was a healthy scratch. So because of that, they were like, yeah, we need to move on because he's not going to get the playing time he needs to develop here. And basically at this point, we need to get more defensive presence because the defense has gone down since Mike Brown went to be the coach for the Sacramento Kings. So basically, that's why they went and got Gary Payton II back. They probably should have never let him go, but they are willing to admit their mistakes. So basically, he's off playing in Detroit.
Okay, understood. And then I'll end off with this. This was funny to me and Brother X and our friend and our other brother Drewski. Houston ended up making a trade for Eric. They traded Eric Gordon to the Clippers. And who they got back was John Wall. The significance behind that is because John Wall was bought out by Houston Rockets earlier this season. And then he signed a 1 year or a 2 year, like $15 million deal, I think, to play with the Clippers. And he went on a podcast and was saying like the culture surrounding Houston Rockets, like people taking practice or you know, training and all that stuff. Like he's like, they didn't take it seriously. And he was telling them like, you do this shit on any other team, you're out the league. Like, that shit won't fly on any other team. And, I mean, he just said that his time at the as a member of the Houston Rockets was trash, which kind of was because they rarely played him. And he was healthy. Like, he was playing really well. He's still one of the top guards in the league. And so for you to talk, I'm not going to say crap, but – be honest about the fact of your time in Houston. Houston was like, yeah, we're going to trade back for you. We're going to give up Aaron Gordon. It's like, why? I think I'll put a clip of the how the trade craziness happened. And then you can kind of hear like just the stupidity in this.
All right, trade deadline's here. What do we got? We're trading for Kyrie Irving.
Yep, we knew about that one. I'm sure Kyrie Irving getting traded to a historically relevant city won't cause any problems.
He'll be fine.
Are we sure JFK was really assassinated?
And there it is.
Hey, we're trading for Kevin Durant.
What?
Brooklyn, what are you doing?
We don't care anymore. Hey, we got Jay Crowder in that deal, right?
Milwaukee, you interested?
Yeah, actually, we are. What do you guys want for him?
I don't know. Give me 5 seconds.
5 second round picks, deal.
Yeah, fine, whatever.
5 second round picks, huh? Very weird. Probably be a long time before we see another trade like that.
Hey, we're trading Wiseman to the Pistons for Sadiq Bey and then trading Bey to the Hawks.
Oh, yeah. What did you want for him again?
I don't know. Give me 5 seconds.
Deal.
Again?
No, we don't want 5 second round picks.
Thank God.
But we will take them and flip them to Portland for Gary Payton.
Okay, please tell me we're done trading the incredibly specific package of 5 second round picks.
Yep, we are definitely done trading 5 second round picks.
Good.
On another note, we're trading Devontae Graham and 4 second round picks to the Spurs.
My head hurts.
We're finally trading Russ to Utah in a 3-team deal and getting D'Lo, Vanderbilt, and Beasley from the Timberwolves.
We're trading for John Wall.
What? Why?
I don't know. Thought it'd be funny. You're weird. You're a weird franchise.
Oh, we know.
But yeah, outside of that, that is all that I have for SportsCenter. And if you have any other NFL questions, comments, or just want to learn more, hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube. His link will be in the description below.
So now that we can bring back the culture scientists and Kelsey into this conversation, let's talk about this Rihanna concert that happened.
Yes, listen.
Y'all take it away.
Listen, she came out of the sky.
Why do you say it like that?
That's what she did. She came out of the sky.
She was playing Super Smash Brothers.
Sure.
Those who get the reference, you get it. That is a fucking phenomenal reference.
I'm sorry. I'm going to just say that. I'm going to let y'all can have this whole segment. But anybody that plays Super Smash Brothers know that whole goddamn stage looked like Final Destination on Super Smash Brothers. I was just waiting for a home run bat or the Megaton Hammer to drop down and somebody get knocked off stage and just hear game. That's all I was waiting for.
Respect. But yes, you had your thoughts about the concert, Culture Scientist?
I mean, that was just me. That was, like, overall. I was going to let Kelsey take over, and then I also was going to say, I want him to say the big part. Like, I was excited about it.
Oh, by all means, go away.
So, I loved the halftime show. It was obviously the only reason why I was even at a Super Bowl party in the first place. I still don't know who was playing, and I still don't know who won. Don't care. But the halftime show was phenomenal. Rihanna did what needed to be done. I, like the rest of the world, had no idea she was pregnant. And I've been hearing this rumor online that she allegedly did not tell the halftime show producers or committee or whatever that she was pregnant. And that I want to believe that that's true, because that is such a Rihanna move. Like, she's just so, like, one of the baddest bitches out here, and, like, a fucking billionaire, can do whatever she wants. And I find it very hard to believe that the halftime committee would have agreed to have her that high in the air if they had actually known that she was pregnant. So, I don't know if that's true, but... I love that.
Oh, she had that. They had that harness on her on that stage, so you definitely can tell that part.
They did. They still weren't gonna drop Rihanna.
Oh yeah, no. But apparently, shout out to whoever I saw it on the internet streets. But apparently, she is in a relationship with a rapper by the name of ASAP Rocky, and someone made the joke. I guess apparently that's why they call him ASAP, because my man did not even wait the recommended amount of time before he was like, oh, let's get some shots up in the gym real quick.
Barely.
If you get the reference, you get the reference.
Listen.
Look, he learned everything from me, because what I do teach in my How to Be a Hoe classes is that once they become a billionaire, you need to lock them down. So, yeah, he took my class, and he learned everything from me. So, good job.
Fair enough. Now, is your program considered a... master's, PhD, I don't know, like, how, like, what school is this being taught at?
You know, currently it's a master's program, because, you know, like the Joker said, when you're good at something, you never do it for free. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
At some point I need you to come out with a curriculum list for the specific major, so we can post that out for all of our listeners to be in tune with. Because, you know, we always say money.
Absolutely.
Donation.
Dinero.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Cheese.
Triple dollars.
Loaf.
Dollars.
Money.
Bands.
Make her dance. All right, we're done. But yes, shout out to Rihanna. And for those who are, there's some people who are saying, like, she wasn't doing enough. Like, one, she
didn't do it.
And everybody's talking about, oh, she didn't do enough. She wasn't moving a whole lot. First and foremost, someone said that the people in white for her performance were the white blood cells coming to protect the infection. That shit was hilarious. Mr. Smith.
Someone else said on Twitter that they were the sperm cells going to the egg. And I was like, hey, yo. But I mean, the fact that she's pregnant again, I was like, touche. I can't argue against that.
But the fact that she had so many, well, we all know she had hits. Like even before she became a billionaire, she had hits. If she wanted to have a long music career, she could have done that. But the crazy part about it was, and I was talking to the coach of sciences about it, near the end, she had like two or three songs back to back to back where it was like, damn, if Kanye didn't Kanye the way Kanye's, he would have been out there performing. And you know, good and well, a good third of her hits had to do with Kanye. Mm-hmm. But Kanye the way he does. So it's literally one of those things.
Yeah, she definitely did some songs that I wasn't expecting. I'm still really hyped at the fact that she opened up with Bitch Better Have My Money, which is my favorite song. Yeah. Obviously. But yeah, I'm surprised that she did Pour It Up, but hey, not mad at it.
I'm more so trapping. I mean, at first, when I first heard that song, I was like, I guess she's telling everybody, listen, I'm here, give my money. Then come to find out she didn't get paid for the Super Bowl performance. I was like, oh, I wish she did, because that would have made the song just that hit that much harder.
Yeah, you never get paid for the performance. That's ironically one of the very few things that I know about the Super Bowl, is that the halftime performers don't get paid.
No. We're going to get your views, but we ain't going to pay you. Yeah. You get the publicity off of it. Because you definitely saw her check her makeup with the Savage Fenty and all that. So you knew what it was.
Man, and she ain't shit for that, too. She ain't shit for that. Like, with everybody at my Super Bowl party, well, most of us were there for Rihanna. So we all just laughed when that part happened. You knew she gonna get her plug in one way or the other.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's just a great thing that we wanted to just kind of give us its own little small segment. But now we're going to go ahead and get into the new and probably permanent segment of Brother X is Streaming. Where Brother X talks about the shows that he is streaming on all of the streaming sites. So this week I have a show for you guys called Physical 100. For those who are into Survivor-esque type games or television shows, or reality shows to be more specific, Physical 100 is a ongoing reality competition series on Netflix. The Survival show was created by an NBC producer, Jang Ho-ji. It premiered January 24, 2023 and airs every Tuesday. I want to say that's about 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. our time. But basically, the format is broken down to 100 competitors with well-developed physical attributes go head-to-head against each other in various individual and team challenges of strength, agility, and strategy. Then the event is built like a tournament. Following each trial, participants are eliminated until one is remaining and they win 300 million won. Or is it won? I believe that's the currency. Mr. Smith got money. He knows.
The lies you tell.
But again, that is Physical 100. For those who want to enjoy those type of competition shows, it's a great watch. For those who want a lot of eye candy for men, Kelsey, I'm looking at you. Yes, you can definitely check it out. Like I said, it premiered on Netflix and they release a new episode every Tuesday. So definitely check it out. I think they're almost to near the end, so you may be able to marathon it. But yeah, definitely check that out. So what we're going to do now is go to a new segment, or not a new segment, a reoccurring segment, which is Now Mind You. Now Mind You, for those who do not know, is part of the Black vernacular when we explain a story or tell a story. And we want to tell you a key or vital part of that story. So we're going to start with a very key one in the story that we're like, oh, when your personal decisions come back to not necessarily haunt you, but you have to deal with the ramifications of your choices. Coach of Scientists, would you like to read this first one?
Amber Rose shares how her 9-year-old son defended her against his friend who asked him about her on
OnlyFans.
Oh, on OnlyFans page. You have to let a woman do what she wants to, with her body. Is that what he said?
Yes. Yeah, yes, culture scientist. Why is it lefty? Why?
He's 9. Mm. His point is that 1,000% valid. I'm just saying. He's 9.
So, for a little bit more context, Amber Rose, she shared that information. She also told Sebastian, I guess this is the podcast that she was on, told him that she shared with her husband or ex-husband, Wiz Khalifa, had defended her honor when one of his friends criticized people on OnlyFans. He said, bro, you can't say that. You have to let a woman do what she wants with her body. That's not cool. You can't do that. Amber says she was left emotional after hearing this from her son, saying, a tear rolled down my cheek. I was like, that's my fucking baby. I instilled that in him from birth. Now, I get it. Coach of Scientists, I agree with you. Women are allowed to do what she wants with her body. And he defended the mother. I respect. But my question also, too, is to Amber Rose, what did you think was going to happen eventually? Your choices come with ramifications. I won't say consequences because it's not necessarily like she did something wrong. It's her body. Cool. Respect that. But what did you really expect was going to happen? Because at some point, everybody got a phone. Everybody got the internet. Everybody got at least $15, $20, however much you charge for your OnlyFans. I don't really know. I don't follow those things. But you got to understand that it leads to a larger conversation of, although you have the right to do certain things, you don't have the right to be like shocked when this happened. Like, I'm sure she wasn't necessarily shocked, but you're sharing this as if this was like not going to happen at some point.
Right.
Like, you have to know that if you're choosing to put yourself out very publicly as a figure and as not a martyr, but a spokesperson for sexual empowerment, all those things, then you have to know that that's going to come along with it. And at some point, you got to realize this is the first one. Like, this was his friend. Just imagine what some of the other kids are potentially saying or going to do. You have to understand, he's going to be fighting this for the rest of his life, because once your booty hole is on the internet, it's on the internet for life. Mr. Smith?
Yeah, so I'm gonna see it from two points of view, right? The first one, obviously, as a mental health podcast, we definitely promote women's rights and empowerment to say, hey, you have it, do whatever you want with it. However, I'm also going to say, remember that every decision, no matter whether it's sexual, non-sexual, financial, doesn't matter what it is, will have consequences down the road. And to that point, this is not myself, Kelsey, Teacher Bay, Brother X, Culture Scientist Timon, middle school, high school, where, nigga, the cell phone just came out and it was the Nokia brick phone, right? And you didn't have the internet. The internet, you had to go to a desktop and pray to God that that thing could load in about 5 minutes. Kids nowadays are having phones, and they're having phones with internet, and they're having phones with social media. So you have to also understand that some of the things that you're going to do, especially if it's easily accessible to adults, it is also easily accessible to children, because children are smarter from an internet perspective than we were when we were their age. I can see now somebody coming up to him and literally have their, you know, have his mom's OnlyFans video on Reddit, because niggas don't really pay for OnlyFans like that. They try to get that shit off Reddit, but that's another story for another day. And be like,
are you giving the game away for free?
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
No. I ain't giving away for free. It's called Subscribe to This Podcast.
Hey, talk about it.
But they just come and be like, oh, yeah, you talking about me? This your mom titties right here, right? Like, this you? This you right there? And any boy, when you talk about their mama, immediately you got to throw hands. Like, that's not even, it's not even a question. You have to throw immediate hands. So the fact that you're kind of putting him in a place where he doesn't have a lot to go off of, like, he obviously he's going to defend, but if they can access the thing, it's like, from a mental standpoint, now the child's kind of traumatized, because, like, oh shit, like Brother X said, I gotta pretty much defend this for the rest of my life, because that's all they, God forbid, do not let him get on a football team or some type of sport and he's a wide receiver and he's lined up against a cornerback. Game on the line. All the corner got to say is, you know, your mama's titties was nice last night. I saw him on that. Throw his whole game off. That's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. Not to say that it's horrible, but it's just, it's life. That's where we're at right now. So just understand that your decisions could have consequences down the road, and to just pick them carefully. Not saying it's a bad decision. Just saying all decisions have consequences.
Yeah. Kelsey, I believe you have some thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation, because it's great that he defended his mom, but Yeah, there's a simple fact that he's nine, and this is something that sex workers these days, particularly sex workers with children, have to like think about more and more, because the world has become fully digital. And I mean, children are given like an iPhone or a smartphone or an iPad like immediately as a way to like, here, take this in the corner, go do that, and don't bother me for a while. That's what I would do with the kid anyway. I don't know what to do with children.
Pretty much, yeah.
So now they're like growing, they're growing up with the internet, and they're going to be able to do a lot more on it than we can, because this isn't like 20 years ago when like you could essentially like, you know, post a picture online and maybe nobody finds it. These days, you know, you have to be a lot more careful. And I mean, it wouldn't bother me because I know I'm not having kids, so I don't really give a shit who finds my nudes online, allegedly, if they exist. But
right, of course. Redacted. I'm about to say, blur that last part out, Mrs. Smith.
but yeah, it's just an unfortunate reality that we have to deal with because of the digital age that we're in.
Yeah. Teacher Bay, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just still kind of baffled a little bit that she's just kind of proud about it. Again, I get that, you know, he was defending, you know, his mom, and, you know, she's a little bit proud of that. But again, he's 9 years old, as we mentioned. He shouldn't have to be worrying about that at that age. And the fact that she's just like, a tear rolled down my cheek, that's like, that's my fucking baby. Like, girl, we want him to be proud that he's getting his education, that he's got, you know, some A's on his report card. I mean, it's all, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it like that. But it's kind of sad.
I think that it speaks to a lot bigger point that I think we're going to get to a little bit later into this episode, where it's like, you as a parent, and granted, I'm not a parent as of yet, not that I'm aware of any way, shape, or form. Ain't that right, culture scientist?
No.
All right, so ultimately, I think that it lends itself to the conversation of how are you educating your child, and what, understanding the responsibility that you have brought a life into this world, and you, whether you like it or not, you play a role in the effect on what quality of life that person has. So if you aren't cognizant of, if I make this decision now, how will it play out in the future? Because ultimately, it's not something like, it's not even just that. It's like, what about his relationship with other women? How does that affect his relationship with his friends? How's that his relationship with his father? Like, you have to be responsible and understand that everything that you do goes into a bank of what makes your child who they are. They have to figure out themselves, but you also play a role in their foundation. But more on that later. Next, we want to actually take some time. Now, I believe, was this? Yes. Oh, another favorite state. Culture scientist, did you know that we like stories from Texas as much as Florida?
Yep, sure do.
So apparently, Texas man arrested for stealing two monkeys from Dallas Zoo says he'll do it again if released. Yes, culture scientist.
Did he say why he stole the monkeys?
I'm glad that you asked. Mr. Smith, can you play the clip?
An unbelievable adventure over the last 3-4 weeks.
So much has happened at the Dallas Zoo in the last month, but the president, Greg Hudson, is relieved.
So glad that the animals are back and safe.
Dallas police say Devion Irvin stole two monkeys from the Dallas Zoo last week by hopping a fence at night and cutting a mesh barrier in the monkeys' habitat. He is facing 6 counts of animal cruelty charges. Now, the zoo is making changes.
Looking at, you know, everything from fences to cameras.
And surveillance video helped them get an image of the suspect fast.
Came from some of the cameras that we had installed that week.
With the new camera systems, to employees being asked odd questions by the suspect. Zoo officials tell us it's thanks to the quick-thinking employees here at the zoo who noticed Devion Irvin's mannerisms and how he was acting. Court documents say Devion asked odd questions about where to get monkeys, and he told police once he's released, he would steal animals from the zoo again.
Court scientist, you had a question.
I did. So, did he have intention to hurt the monkeys? Because what it sounded like, they said he's being charged with animal cruelty. But he wasn't necessarily being cruel to them. Maybe he was freeing them.
You sound like Jeff.
And how is that being cruel?
Sound like you're related to Jeff.
I feel like they need to come up with a better charge that's more accurate. So I don't feel like he was being cruel.
Well, it was taking them out of their quality habitat at the zoo.
You are not wrong, but again...
So, Coach Scientist, I know we haven't done this in a while, and I believe it is, we got a little bit of money in the budget. Mr. Smith, cue the music! Motherfuck Studios, we are back! I believe I'm going to be the zookeeper, and I'm going to need you to be, our friend here, the monkey kidnapper. So, because it's Black History Month, we're not allowed to be monkeys in Black History Month.
Nigga! We're telling a story about monkeys.
Fine, you can be the monkeys.
Guys want to make the point. Let's go.
Okay. So, Trying to see how you doing. Are you enjoying everything down here at the Dallas Zoo?
Yes. Yes, I am, sir. Yes.
Okay. It seems like you've taken an interest in some of our monkeys. Is that correct?
I mean, sir, curious on what's happening over here. You know, I just want to know how do the monkeys, is there a way for monkeys escaping?
No, we actually do pretty well. We have some nice cameras that keep track of like what the monkeys are doing. Make sure they're not going too crazy. Okay. Like make sure they're eating and they're having some rest time.
The cameras, you said.
Yes, so cameras. Yes, it's very correct. Like, yes, like you see that right over there, right there. You see it.
Like my whole face.
Like right as you're looking at it right now, it's getting your face right here.
You can see my eyeballs too.
Yes, it can see your whole face right there.
My Doritos are here.
Yes, the Doritos. Yes. I don't know where you got Doritos. We try to keep food away from the animals that aren't healthy for them. Yes,
I thought monkeys like Doritos.
No, they're not like pit bulls. You don't feed them like pit bulls.
So what do they like to eat?
Bananas, nuts, fruits. Yes.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Yes. Are they afraid to be touched?
We like to tell all of our visitors to not touch the animals, especially or take them out of their natural habitat or where they're staying.
But their natural habitat is Africa.
But right now, their habitat that they're living in now is here.
Or Brazil.
But right now it's Dallas, Texas.
Or anywhere else there's an actual jungle.
Sir, I'm starting to become a little bit concerned with the way you are expressing your questions.
I'm just showing concern for the monkeys.
Sir, it is almost time. The zoo closes in about 15, 20 minutes. I have to go take...
But they're my friends.
But how did you become...
But they're my friends.
How did you become friends with them?
Because I see them every day and we talk and they like me.
Sir, I'm very confused. I feel like I may have seen you before, but why are you coming here every day?
You have... before I've not seen you before.
Are you sure? Because I mean, we got you on the camera. I was looking at it earlier.
Look,
you know what, sir? I gotta go take care and go feed the orangutans real quick. Sir, make sure you make your way to the exit as we leave.
Sure thing, sir.
All right.
A few moments later,
I know this fool did not just take these goddamn monkeys.
Time out. What was the monkeys' names again?
I don't know the monkeys' names. And what the fuck studios is over. Mr. Smith.
You two are fucking stupid. That's all I'm going to say right now. That's hilarious. But no, just to fill in some context for the listeners. So number one, the guy took the monkeys because he quote unquote liked the monkeys and wanted to free them. Number two, to answer the culture scientist's question, the monkeys' names were Bella and Finn.
Okay. Bella and Flip.
Finn.
Finn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like he came back and he said, "Hey Bella and Finn, I got some bananas. I got some bananas for you. Come on through the hole."
My man got on a Nike tracksuit, probably got on some Gucci slides. He ain't going to do nothing healthy for them but the monkeys.
Continue,
Mr. Smith.
Oh, no, you're good. So then also, he had been squatting in a vacant house where he had a couple of different animals, cats, pigeons, you name it. That is where he took the monkeys before getting ready to try to board a train, a light rail to, I guess, I don't know what his actual plan was after that. And he actually was trying to also free a, I'm trying to remember what kind of cat it is. It is a, I can't remember the, a clouded leopard. And the clouded leopard's name was Nova, but he was only able to pet Nova before Nova jumped on top of the enclosure and was like, yeah, nah, fam. Because, you know, cats already know immediately. Nah, I ain't fucking with that. We out.
Bro.
So, yeah. But I think the thing that sticks out, and listeners, if you don't know, please take another listen to season one, episode 34, famously titled Quit Hoeing Around. Shout out to Kelsey. Where our man Jeff decided to steal a police car. And then say on the news thing, he go, when I get out of jail, I'm gonna steal another police car because God told him to do it. That's pretty much what this nigga sound like. He sound like Jeff season three, except instead of a police car, it's two monkeys and a cluttered leopard.
Yes, oh. Teacher Bay.
That sounds like he's pulling a Noah's Ark. He's getting two from every animal.
No.
God told him to do it, just like Jeff said. Oh, man.
They know each other. They must be cousins.
They gotta be cousins.
They're cousins. This is ridiculous. I don't like any monkeys except for Curious George. But yeah.
Can we say that during Black History Month?
You're the only one thinking it that way.
I'm just saying we're trying to make sure we don't get canceled.
All right, George is a nice character for kids.
It is a brown monkey being taken care of by a white man.
He's actually very smart. He's very curious, and he actually stimulates young people's minds.
He's actually teaching the white man sometimes.
Is he though?
Yes.
Is he though? I don't trust a big man who has a tall yellow hat like that. I don't trust.
He's never really around.
So, wait. You're saying that Curious George is teaching the white man? So this is Black Panther, Curious George edition? That's what we're doing? We just teach the white man everything?
He's teaching the white man and the kids. Whether they white or black.
Oh.
He's smart.
We'll have a deep dive in this in one of our future bonus episodes. Who knows? All right. Before we move on, Kelsey, do you have any thoughts?
I'm just kind of shocked at how often God tells people to do some crazy shit.
You're not,
and I'm gonna leave you with that.
I'm about to say you are not wrong. Wow, this is some nice quality air. This air be airing, man. Now to move on to a little bit slightly more serious topic. For those who don't know, I don't know where Kelsey stands on this after one of his one of his former flings, Boothang, Sneaky Links. Apparently Idris Elba, the actor, who explained that he doesn't want to, he no longer wants to be called a black actor.
Shut up.
Let's go ahead and get a little bit more into it. Idris Elba does not want to be defined or constrained. The celebrated actor is getting candid about his thoughts on race, racism, and equality in Hollywood. Speaking with Esquire UK while promoting his forthcoming film, Luther, The Fallen Son, Elba opened up about how he no longer refers to himself as a black actor and prefers to be considered on the merits of his talent. I stopped describing myself as a black actor when I realized it put me in a box, Elba shared. We've got to grow. We've got to go. Our skin is no more than that. It's just skin. Elba explained, of course, I am a member of the black community. You say a prominent one, but when I go to America, I'm a prominent member of the British community. If we spent half the time not talking about the differences but the similarities between us, the entire planet would have a shift in the way we deal with each other. As humans, we are obsessed with race, and that obsession can really hinder people's aspirations, hinder people's growth, Elba reflect. Racism should be a topic of discussion. Sure, racism is very real, but from my perspective, it's only powerful as you allow it to be. Go ahead, Coach Scientist.
This feels really, really reminiscent of a young lady. Okay, first and foremost, I get the whole perspective, and I respect the people's perspective, who do no longer want to be considered black. And I personally don't fully understand it, but I don't need to understand it to respect it all the time. I get that you have your reasons, you explain to me your reasons, and cool. However, This is coming to me, what it sounds like, from a point of privilege.
Oh, very much so.
You are a, and this is coming again, you're coming to America. Once again, America and all these other countries, unfortunately, racism plays a large amount of things. And yes, we play into racism a lot because that's what it is.
It's in the DNA of this country.
It's in the DNA of this country, and it's in the DNA of this world. Unlike the other countries who do not necessarily want to recognize what they do, they have more of what is considered microaggressions. America just does it more on micro and macro, in my humble thy opinion. And it's just very reminiscent of a young lady who also said there was no racism where she came from, and I wanted to slap her crazy.
Like, honestly, I think it's fucking ironic that a black man from Great Britain, the fucking stereotype of colonizer, in so many ways had the audacity to say that, because ultimately, it's like Coach Scientist said, you are very privileged to be able to say that. And additionally, because realistically, you may not say it, you may not want to be put in that box. But when they talk about, oh yeah, that black actor, when they're in the casting rooms, yeah,
they're talking about you.
They're talking about you. You are a black actor. You have that responsibility. You can't take your skin off. It's the difference between saying, oh yes, I'm an actor. That is a job that you choose to do. Not that you don't get to take off being black. You can't just say, I'm no longer black. We are not white. We can't just take off our responsibility when we feel like it.
He's able to turn off his British accent.
Right.
Like, congratulations, you can turn that off. But when you look at you, fortunately, you are a person of color. At least they recognize that. I'm a person of color actor. Something. But you just go away and say, oh, I'm just an actor. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
Like, you are in a... The only reason why you can do that is because you've had a level of fame. Because I promise you, if you're talking about any up-and-coming actor, do you get considered as a black actor, or you have to look in these casting rooms? Oh, I'm trying to have this black guy or play this role, whatever the case may be. They're going to say black in the casting calls. You just are lucky enough now that you have enough experience where you don't have to deal with it. Mr. Smith?
So when I first read this, I thought about it as a space where he doesn't want to be labeled as like the black actor in the black movies, right? So pretty much he does, even though we know he's more than this, he doesn't want to just be black famous. And listeners, if you don't know what I mean, think of Tyler Perry movies. That's pretty much black famous to me. Now, do they get some hitters every once in a while, i.e. Taraji P. Henson in Acrimony? Yes. But a lot of the people that you know, like, I don't remember the old girl's name, I just know her as Angela from the Tyler Perry movies, along with Marcus.
Asha Smith.
Thank you. I only can see her in black movies. I don't see her in the crossover ones. At the same rate, you could look at that at Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, you would always think of as always in the funny movies, right? So movies like Ride Along and Get Hard and stuff like that. But then you'll see him switch over to movies like Fatherhood and Me Time, where he's actually taking a different approach. But then as I read more into it and he showed like, oh, well, you know, we've got to grow. It's just skin. I then started to switch over to Brother X and Culture Scientist, where it's like, yeah, the difference is like we talked about in previous episodes when it was the Blue Lives Matter. They can take that blue off. Yeah. You can't take your black skin off, my nigga. So you are that black actor, whether you like it or not. And to Brother X and Culture Scientist's credit, when you're not in the room, that's what they gonna say. A good example, and I'm sure everyone can agree with this, when it came to the Grammys and Beyonce got snubbed, you wonder what they said? Oh, that black album. No, we ain't gonna do that. We're gonna do Harry Styles. That's what they see. It don't matter what you try to do to make them grow. The biggest thing I can take from this is what my uncle said. If they are not willing to put in the work to learn, there is no point for you to even try, because they have already made their decision. And it's obviously that they've made their decision. They're still going to look at you as a black actor because you're black. Whether you take the most serious role, whether you do Takers 2, yeah, you lived in Takers. So yeah, whether you do Takers 2 or whatever, you're going to be that black actor. Now you can take, you're not going to be like pigeonholed, but you're black. Understand that. And just use that to, instead of you saying, well, it's only as powerful as you allow it to be, be that person that can open up the floor for other black actors to come in and take more prominent roles.
Right. I give you a prime example. If Denzel Washington said, oh, I just want to be recognized as an actor and didn't go out of his way to pave the way for other Black actors, you don't have Chadwick Boseman. Point blank, period. Ultimately, for Idris Elba, granted, he's older now and he's in a position where it may not affect him, but he is one or two experiences away from being just another nigga. Honestly, because in the wrong circumstances, he can get arrested and still be put in jail. And it don't matter if you want to be cleared as a criminal or a Black criminal, you're going to get treated like you're Black. That is the world that we live in. And for you to operate otherwise is willful ignorance.
Somebody's going to remind you.
Life is going to be the best teacher. Teacher Bay?
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe because of that last role he had with being, you know, James Bond in the newer version, maybe that played a part in this. So he kind of feels like, you know, he kind of reached over some boundaries there where it's like, yeah, there's no color here. It's just, you know, me doing my acting because I got that role. But like we all said, at the end of the day, you're still Black. It would be nice to look at the world that way, but it's not that way. And I think it's just privilege that really does play a part here.
There's too much institutional stuff in place for to say, oh, it's how much power we give it to. Dog, do you think Black people in America will, I guarantee you, if we as Black people in America could say, oh yeah, racism doesn't exist here, and just poof, it magically disappears, dog, why would we haven't had all the things that's happened over the last 200 plus years? I'm sorry, Kelsey, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I would love to no longer identify with being poor or middle class, but I just can't Wingardium Leviosa some money to manifest in my bank account. Exactly. So, Idris, I guess I don't understand the point you're trying to make with this, because in my opinion, Idris Elba has had a pretty great career so far in Hollywood. Like, he's gotten to do a lot of things that I feel a lot of Black actors just don't get the opportunity to do. So I don't know. Like you said earlier, like, I just feel like it's coming from a place of privilege, and I don't know. I feel like he could have just not said this and been totally fine. Like, I wish we could go back to before he said this.
And granted, here's the crazy thing. So it would be one thing if it was just the whole stereotype of Black British actors. Mr. Smith, I don't know if you have the quote from one of the best dudes that I know who got disrespected by Star Wars, but John Boyega's quote. Do we have that? So this is another Black actor from Great Britain, John Boyega, Protect the Block and all the different fames and other things like that nature. Basically, he came out and said, I think we should fixate on who is typecasting and putting actors into boxes because of this, not on making weird adjustments for them. We continuously focus on what we have to do so they don't do this or that. Very worrying. We Black, and that's that. Very simple. Like, mind you, it is a choice to try to willfully ignore a part of who makes you who you are. You are representation when you become a Black actor. You are one of the representations little Black boys, little Black girls, and other kids look at in Marvel movies playing him, Heimdall. You are representing a group of people, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. You just have to take responsibility for it. But that's just my thoughts on the matter. Yes, Kelsey, last thought on that so we can move on.
Yeah, last thing. I just want to say to the Harry Potter stands out there, yes, I'm aware that I used the wrong spell. It was the first one that I thought of. So, fuck you.
There you go. All right, so we're actually going to get into our topic, which, as you kind of heard bits and pieces of, and we've touched on some elements of it, but I wanted to bring it to our guests and our host, the question of, when is it time to educate the youth on their race? Which I think is very apropos from my last subject. I think when it comes to this conversation, and mind you, there's plenty of examples that we've seen now where people are trying to just will away racism or being identified as black, which is crazy to me because you could go the Sammy Sosa route and be a lot easier. You could bleach your skin and you won't have to go with half of trying to jump through mental gymnastics to try to explain yourself or to pacify certain audiences. So I wanted to bring this clip or bring this particular story to your attention. For those who don't know, two people, Manuel Acho and is a former NFL player. I say that loosely because he only had like a cup of coffee in the NFL before leaving there. And you have Van Lathan, a very well-known, I believe he's former worker for, the news network, the one that'd be killing people off early. Basically, he is a former news reporter as researcher, and he has a podcast called Higher Learning, where he himself, as well as Rachel Lindsay, I'm mispronouncing it, I apologize. But basically, they had an interesting conversation. So I want to read this to you, give you guys a little bit more insight. So FS1's Manuel Acho has been no stranger to heated public arguments in recent years. He found himself in the midst of another one on Friday following an appearance on The Ringer's Higher Learning podcast last week. Acho appeared on the January 20th episode of the program, which is hosted by Van Lathan Jr. and Rachel Lindsay. Am I saying that right? Because I'm really going to be fair. Okay, thank you. The latter of which who worked with Acho at ESPN and had advocated for him to be a host of The Bachelor, which she had been a contestant on. That's neither here nor there. The uncomfortable conversations with a black man host ended up having a very uncomfortable conversation with Lathan and Lindsay, specifically over the statement, state of race in America and the way that Acho discussed issues on his program. Focusing his efforts on white audiences over black ones. Acho defended his style by saying that he had specific insight into conversations around race because of his background. Listeners, for those who do not know, he is of Nigerian descent, but we'll get to that in just a moment. He said, when white people say, well, racism doesn't exist, I know why they say that, he said. Acho on the show, because I've been in them rooms when they say that. Acho said in the clip, when I kick it with black folks and they're like, all white people are racist, I know why you say that. All the while, I have the privilege and luxury of not having generational trauma of slavery in America because my parents were born in Nigeria. So my method is removing some of the sting because I don't have that sting and trying to deliver it in a manner that people can receive it. I'm going to let that marinate for a moment, but Lathan took offense to that, obviously, and he said, let me tell you why you just offended me, Lathan said. You're saying that you didn't have generational trauma and that you didn't mean it this way, but you're saying that in some way, meaning that your delivery method to white people is going to be either more effective or more sanitized, is to me dangerous, and let me tell you why. Everybody that you just named and what you're talking about does what they do in different ways. I don't think that any of the things that they do are necessarily harmful, but what I could say is a black man, a prominent one, acting as an emotional butler for white people and serving them the most milquetoast, unspicy, unseasoned brand of racial discord and accountability possible could be definitely harmful. Like, we're fighting for our lives, and to me, having a conversation like that at that particular time, it's not a different method. Everybody has different methods. It's that it's the wrong method. So I bring that to your attention, and you can read more about it and listen to some of the audio from it. We'll put it in the show notes, but and it opens it up to the conversation of we can't just, in talking about race, which is both a social construct, but also a vital part of America DNA, how do we have these conversations? Because I know for me, as a black educator and working with kids, I had kids who were in some of my classes when I talked about what's special about February, you got the natural answers of, oh, it's President's Day. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Oh, it only has 28 days in a month. And these are, mind you, young children who had no idea that it was Black History Month and not understanding why it was important and having to explain that to people. Coach of Sciences?
There's a lot.
Go ahead. Speak your piece.
There's a lot to unpack right here.
Yeah, I mean, we in the trust tree.
Right now. If you got that reference, yeah, I got that reference. But for real, there's a lot to unpack.
Okay.
My point that I really want to say is something that stood out to me that maybe we can address later is that he stated that he didn't have to have the generational curses like that we've had in America. I feel like I'm offended because it's telling me, to me, he's coming off, I had a better childhood than you. I had a better upbringing than you. I didn't have to go through the things that you had to do. But however, I also sometimes look at how other cultures are brought up sometimes. And I worry about how they're brought up sometimes. So you won't worry about how I'm brought up. You still have your own personal generational curses. You have your own personal issues. It is still somehow bridged around culture and who you are as a people. And I feel that a lot of Africans don't think that way, or even, no, let me put people of color, people of color, I feel, no matter where you are in the world, in some way you are teaching protection against something from some outside source.
It's almost in the sense of you're teaching and you're trying to have the conversation of yeah, I'm black, but I'm not that black. Yeah, I'm that Negro, but I'm not this Negro.
Yeah, so I can see why that person is offended, because that's how I took it. It's kind of I see what you're saying. Your point is extremely valid, and I can understand why you're coming from that. However, this is when I become tick for tack. I admit that. I'm wait a minute.
If we're going to play the Oppression Olympics, we can play that game, but you got to understand you're about to wade in some deep waters. And if you don't got the verbal hands, don't hop in the ring. Because ultimately, you have a responsibility. Anytime you have a platform where you can reach multiple people and you are visible to those, you have a responsibility. You can say that it's a cultural thing that we're taught, but damn it, we got to answer for it. Because again, if I, as a black educator, fuck up, that's going to ruin it for the next 5 to 10, 20, however many other black educators, because they're going to look at it, oh, he did this, and this is why we try to avoid having this type of teacher here. It is what it is, ultimately, because we live in America, and this is part of who we are. Doesn't matter, not Coach Scientist, Ms. Smith or Teacher Bay, either one.
I'm kind of with Culture Scientist. I felt a little offended as well, but I feel like his point is not valid, just because that generational trauma didn't directly affect you. It did indirectly, because again, we all stem from Africa. So I'm sure if he keeps going further down that family tree or further back, somehow, somewhere, there was some type of slavery or trade slave that was going on. So it doesn't make sense. It did happen. How do you know that we're not Nigerian too? And, we kind of cross paths. It's just really hard for us to track because, again, they sold us like crazy and changed our names. And it just brings up a lot of pain. But, again, for you to say that, it's not valid to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like you are literally, you are using, for lack of a better term, white people's narrative, pull yourself by the bootstraps. Oh, why you always got to make it about race? Sir. When I am the only determining factor, separating factor of what happened with me, it's the color of my skin, not my quality of education, not my quality of skill, not my qualifications and anything else. It is literally because I am black and that person is of a different skin color or of a different shade of skin tone. You can't just say it, wipe it off as oh, it doesn't exist. Dog. It is willful ignorance. I'm sorry. Kelsey, you have something?
I feel like this is another issue that is coming from a place of privilege. It's very similar to the Idris Elba story. And it's crazy because I feel like there are definitely black celebrities out there that have kind of forgotten that they're still black first and that they were black before the money.
Right.
And that's what's coming off in this story and in the Idris Elba story. It's like you're still black first. And that is how the world is going to see you, regardless of where you go in this world. That's the first thing that people are going to see you as. So because of that, there's always going to be some level of trauma or stuff that we need to just get through just to go about our day. And I feel that the way that he came off in this story was kind of not addressing any of that. He's coming off as kind of like he's almost, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it's almost like he's above that because he had a different upbringing than a lot of Black Americans had. It's hard for me to get with his point of view on this. I feel like it's quite skewed.
Ms. Smith, you have something?
Yeah. I'm going to make sure I say this cleanly. This is not Truth or Transparency. This is Mr. Smith's viewpoint. The point that's, I'm not going to rehash what you guys have said because it's definitely valid. The point that I stick out to is where he said that he's serving them the most milquetoast, unspicy, unseasoned brand of racial discourse and accountability possible. So many times in this life, we always have to adhere to white fragility. There's a lot of times where it's like, you know, if you look at how many times we call them Karens that will call the police on somebody, and then when shit hits the fan, all of a sudden they start tearing up. Oh my God, it just, right? But if we did that, we'd be shot, we'd be arrested, all the other shit, right? You look at politicians that don't even want to talk about reparations. Like, you bring that word up, it's like kryptonite to Superman. I don't really understand why it is so hard to talk about it when you guys have your race is the race of atrocities. Look at the Black Plague, look at the Holocaust, look at slavery, look at the transatlantic slave trade. Like, all of this was due to white people. And the moment that you understand that, just like how South Africans and Africans had to deal with apartheid, the moment that we actually can be better, but understand that history is always going to water down the stuff to make it seem not so bad. But you're talking about people that had got thrown from ships in the middle of going from Africa to America to be enslaved. Oh, you don't like this? I'm going to kill you. Like, that's what we deal with. But a lot of this is, oh, well, you know, like, I think I forgot what state it was that said they want to rewrite the
it was Texas.
Texas that wanted to rewrite the history book.
Indigenous servants.
Yeah, they wanted to rewrite it and make it seem like, oh, you know, they had an agreement. No, they didn't. They just got genocided. Like, they got smallpox and a whole bunch of, I mean, like, they did that. And I don't know why you guys are so hell-bent on trying to protect it. Just acknowledge what you did. Like, that's really it. If you really want to be real with it, Black people always say we want reparations, and trust me, people, we do. We want the money and the acres.
Yup.
But the first thing, honestly, is just acknowledgement. If you actually, and this goes for anything, like, even without race, we could take this to relationships, friendships, communication. The first step in resolving a conflict is acknowledgement of the conflict.
Yep.
That is the biggest thing of all. So the fact that it's, oh, slavery was so long ago, I don't even remember it. Like, nigga, y'all still got Jim Crow laws that affected people in the 60s. I still have parents and relatives that can remember when they had to be, that they couldn't go to certain towns because they were sundown towns and white people would lynch them. We still have people living today that deal with that. So how are you going to tell me, oh, that don't exist no more, we are better, this, that, and third? You just want to milk over it because of your privilege. And that kind of goes into this, right? So because he didn't have that generational trauma, he's like, oh, I can talk to them in a way that they'll understand. No, you won't. Because they already made it understanding clear. They don't want to talk about it because it affects them. But you want to know what affects us? Getting killed in the street over a cigarette. Or a bad tag light. Or just because your ex-girlfriend of a police officer is it, you're talking to him. Stupid shit that you should be at the most fined and maybe jailed for a day or a couple days or a month or whatever. Even the most severe of casualties. But you want to know what else is crazy? White people that are going into schools, museums, shopping marts, supermarkets with fully loaded magazines and AR-15s, they're being brought home alive.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, Emmanuel Acho. That's the stuff that you got to make sure you understand. When you talk about that generational trauma, remember all of these, and trust me, these are all recent examples. Don't even let me go back a couple of years, but these are all recent examples. So just watch what you say when it comes to that, because that is offensive.
And to tie back into my initial question, because I know we've had a good dialogue so far about this, is simply that I feel that if we're having these conversations, in order to prevent, because I feel like part of it is too, is that if we're teaching our children or having our conversations with children, notice how I said children. I didn't just say Black children, and I didn't say about it. Just talking to them and treating them like they can comprehend things, explain to them like, hey, these are things about race. And it's not some, oh, you just want to talk about races. No. Explaining to children what race is and helping them understand what the concept of it is, what the social construct of it is, how it can potentially play a role. You're not treating them with baby gloves. Like, I promise you, from my almost 10 years of experience as an educator, kids are very resilient. Some of them will have some of the most insightful things to tell you, and their understanding goes far beyond what you're willing to even acknowledge. It's like, hey, they get what racism looks like. They may have been misguided in what are some of like key figures or factors to it, but they are more than capable to have these discussions. So when I see these things of like, oh, I know how to talk to people, it's like, when did it become a tool or like, this is like a privilege, like we said multiple times, that, oh, don't worry about this. Stand back. I can be the super Negro. I can be that one in a thousand that knows how to talk to people. Or, oh, we don't have to worry about this because I said that, oh, this is just all those things. Sir, you have to look at the circles and the environments that you are in right now where you are able to say that. Because you have, in the putting yourself in these circles, whether through hard work and all the trials that you've been through as a person, to be able to say that. Because again, you are one bankruptcy, one police arrest away from being just another Negro.
So let's rewind that. Oh, what tells you now?
Okay. I also wanted to go back to your original question as well. When is it time to educate the youth on their race? And I also wanted to expand that in a way that will make all of the listeners uncomfortable. I don't think there's an age that is too young to start talking to your child about race, about gender, about sexuality. It's just like the Amber Rose story. I mean, if there's going to be a lot of people out there who are okay with the fact that her 9-year-old knows about her OnlyFans and is defending the two of his friends. And yeah, those people are probably men. But if it's fine for him to know that at that young age, then he can absolutely know about race. He can absolutely be taught about sexuality and homosexuality and gender and all of that. Like, I think the younger that we teach children, well, y'all, I'm not going to teach children anything, but the younger that y'all teach children, then the more, I don't know, I just feel the more like well-adjusted kids will become in the future. And also it makes a lot of things that we think are like kind of outside of the norm today, it makes it so these things are a part of the norm. And so there's not an issue when they go to high school and say they have like a gay kid in their class sitting right next to them. Now they know how to interact with that because they've had the conversations about it. And also my last point that I wanted to make about this, and this one, I want to direct it straight to the Christians out there listening. But if you think it is okay in your churches to tell a child that we are living in our last days, then you can absolutely tell a child about race and homosexuality and all of this stuff. Because surely telling a child that they're living in the last days isn't going to cause any expensive therapy bills or anything, right? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That is a whole conversation for another day. I'm putting that on the big board. We're gonna come back to that. I see where you're going with that. I appreciate that. Thank you. Teacher Bay, then we'll come back to the Cultural Scientist.
I also just wanted to piggyback off of what Brother X said about children being resilient, and which they really are. And again, I've been blessed to teach at a school where we can teach Black History Month, and we do with all ages. But it's definitely a great age to start, is at around age 2 or 3, depending on how competent your child is and gets those type of information. But they really have lots of great books about Black Americans, and about Martin Luther King, Black figures, there we go, important Black figures, that break it down even to for a toddler age. So I feel like you can just start there. And the kids, they're so smart. They just look at like, oh, okay. And they're asking all these questions. So they didn't like each other because of their skin color, and they're looking at the skin color, and they'll look in the classroom and, oh, okay, well, I love her. You know, I love that. But it really pieces everything together, and children are smart. They can look at that and change it into a positive way. Then also, I just wanted to mention that it was so cute when we went to go visit my nephew just learned about melanin. So he was just walking around the house like, yeah, I got melanin. You got melanin. Oh, you only got a little bit of melanin. Like, he was really learning about that. And it's just cute. And he understood what that meant for his age. Yeah. But yes.
Go ahead, Coach Scientist.
So you made multiple points of what I wanted to say, but you made the point about the melanin thing. So the scientist in me, when I was learning about, I was taking pathology class. That was one of my favorite classes. They were showing us the cells, and they show us like the melanocytes. That's what it's called, people. It's called melanocytes.
Can you spell that?
No, not.
All right, cool.
And it's beautiful. Mm. And you can see they look purple. So I also like the picture because it's purple on the picture. And when you really just learn about it, it just like her nephew said, it's, oh, you just have a little bit. I just have a lot more than you. That's all it, like, come on. That's all it is. And it's for protection. Yep. There's a reason why. There's a scientific reason. Like, come on, people.
Right. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wasn't.
Go ahead.
So to my taking it backwards, back to the original question about when is the right time. I remember, or I don't fully remember, my mom told me this, but apparently, so I'm a very proud adopted person. Mm-hmm. Very happy to admit this. But my mom is a little bit light-skinned. She's light-skinned like Brother X.
A little. No.
She's about more yellow.
Okay.
However, so when I was younger, I asked her, hey, Mom, why are you white and I'm Black? And I'm pretty sure this was, like, probably before the age of 5. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what was I supposed to know? I'm looking at my mom, who looks different than me.
Right.
And trying to understand why that happened. And she's the one raising me.
Right.
So I was real confused. And she's and then she really confused me by telling me, I'm Black. And I was like, no, you're not. I definitely told her, no, she was not. She's like, I'm just light skinned. There's different shades. So, like, I think you, like everybody has said, you should really start showing children early on, because there are people that look different. Right. And, like, you know, shout out to our little neighbors. I'm pretty sure they're like, hey, the Black neighbors, you know, everything's a little baby. He knows that his neighbors are darker than his siblings. And I feel like that's a good thing. And, you know, he likes the little rap music that I play when I come park my car. You know, he comes running around the corner. You know, teach him. It's better to teach because they're not born racist. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it is you're trying to destigmatize the situation and trying to make it, if you want them to get comfortable having these conversations, you have to start talking about it with them at an early time, so it's not brand new. It's not, oh my goodness, it's shock and awe. It's like, oh, I didn't realize that these things happen. You're not having these children grow up to be people who are shocked and appalled. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't know George Floyd was happening. Dog, I can promise you, I'm 2 phone calls away from someone who had police brutality happen to them. And you have to understand that these are things that are a real part of this world. And until the world is a better place, you are better equipped to prepare them when they're young, where they can absorb it, so they can have the tools. basically what you have to recognize, and I believe my father, God rest his soul, explained to me, is that a lot of times you're creating the internal voice for the children so that when they get in the situations, they know how to handle, they can assess it, they can do critical thinking to be able to navigate these spaces without, one, endangering themselves, or two, possibly endangering others from a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding of situational awareness. So to either deny that it exists or to say that you don't want to be put in a box, when we don't have that luxury to operate in those spaces, because I can guarantee you fans and supporters of these high influence Black people who are saying we don't have to worry about these things, I propose you this. OJ did the same exact thing, and where'd that get him?
Sheesh.
In the immortal words of Jay-Z, I'm not Black, I'm OJ. Okay. Like, that's all you gotta know. That's all you gotta know from me.
Listen to that song.
Like, you gotta understand, like, this is a part of who you are. That is in the DNA of who we are, and I don't know how many different ways we can put it. Mrs. Smith?
I just want to put it on to this point. White people already do this in the way that we don't, that we understand. And by white people, I want to make sure, because the white people that listen to this podcast, we know you get it. But those that are of the red state, catch what I'm saying, they teach their children young that, oh, this, when you see this color, you should be fearful of it because they're aggressive, because they're this, putting all of these stigmas that are not substantiated properly. They already do that. If you look at a lot of classic documentaries, movies, pictures, all of that was taught. They weren't born like that. They were taught that. And if you look at some of the times in those same documentaries where a child would ask, but Pa, why do we do this? There's not really a good answer, but they just get brainwashed to say, oh, if my parents say that this is what this is, then this is what it is, as opposed to being like, you know, in this day and age, we have more information, more access to be able to learn and try to correct those same behaviors. Hence why you have more white people coming out saying, oh shit, these people actually are going through this shit. Okay, it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes they just getting it because they Black. No, he's not a thug. No, he didn't run a red light. No, he doesn't have, you know, warrants or anything like that. He was just in the store and they saw him as a threat. That's what we're trying to correct. And until they get to that point, it's a long ways away. But as someone of color, I'm going to tell you now, I got that conversation when I was 7. Mm-hmm. When they said, you have to be twice as good to get half of what they get.
Word to Daddy Pope.
Like, that was a real statement that a lot of parents had to do to be like, look, I'm going to warn you now. It ain't going to be easy when you come out this house and you got to go into the real world. You already got my father. I love you, Daddy Smith. He always said it best. Nigga, when you leave this house, you already got 2 strikes. You Black and you a man.
And he's... My daddy said that.
Right? So it's like, you already got 2 strikes. So you got to tiptoe that line carefully. And that's some of the conversations that we as Black people have to have. But those that are of privilege, I'm not going to say white, I'm just going to say of privilege, they feel like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I don't know because you have this privilege. But when you're able to be able to have those conversations, regardless of your financial status, of your privilege, of your race, that'll make a lot of things work better in the world for years to come. But it takes all of us, not just Black people, not just white people, not Asian, Native Americans, Indigenous, don't matter. Africa, all of us have to have that conversation. Young, start them young, train them young, be accepting of all. I don't care if you gay. I don't care if you Black. I don't care if you a weapons hoarder. I don't care. Well, if you're a weapons hoarder, we got some questions, but.
Conversation for another day.
Another day. But in the aspect of race, that really will help for there to be an actual United Nations front and an actual good well-being on this earth. As long as she's, you know, continues to keep rotating.
Yeah. For however long that's going to be. Like, ultimately, in order for us to address the issue, we have to stop looking at things as a Band-Aid solution versus a full-on surgery or even replacement surgery. Like, you have to recognize that it takes a lot of work. And ultimately, let me make this very clear. When I say this, we're not just talking to the Black community because we already do these things. We're talking to these other races. And let me make this very clear. My Hispanic community, you guys are not absolved from this. My Japanese, Korean races and all that stuff, you guys are not absolved of this because you guys have your part to play too, because it's your this separationism or whatever we want to call it. You guys play a part in it too. And yes, you guys have had your struggles, but understand, just because you're not the one dealing with it, don't mean that you're not far off from it. Just like when they're coming for all the stuff about Black and African-American history, white women who are supporting these people, don't worry. They're coming for you next. They've already done it in multiple ways. So please don't be willfully ignorant to these situations because they're hard or they're uncomfortable or you don't know what to say. Dog, just talk. One of the things that I've learned with my brother in speaking with him and with everything that went on with my father was you don't have to come up with some elaborate speech or like hand puppets or whatever the case would be. You legitimately just got to talk to them like they're a person. Hey, this is going on. I know that this can be challenging. This can affect you. But ultimately, here's how you could possibly handle it. It's okay if you're not sure how to handle it. But let's try to be mindful of it so it's not something that catches us off guard. And that's all that we're really looking for is just talk to people, man. Genuinely have genuine conversations where you're not trying to talk from a place of I'm above you. We're equals. We're both trying to educate each other and come to an understanding, not come to you're right, I'm wrong. So I think that kind of works as a good transparent moment. And before we move forward, is there any other final thoughts? Because I think we had a really good dialogue with this. With that being said, guys, I want to thank our guests for coming on again. I think this is a great dialogue. I love when we're actually able to connect pieces of different stories, almost weave it into one cohesive thought. And I love just having these conversations because, I mean, these are things that I know for us, excluding Kelsey, because we know Kelsey not having kids. He's team fuck them kids, but that's not what we're talking about right now. But we have to get to the point where we're at that age where we're starting to family plan. We're starting to recognize that we have to start educating, if we haven't already done so, the next generation that comes behind us, because what happens with us, we took the lesson that we learned from the generation before us and we're taking it and trying to pass it on to the next one. But we have to treat it because the world that our parents and their generation lived in is not the world that we live in now in a lot of ways. So we can't keep doing the same things over and over again expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. So I leave you with that. Talk to your peoples. Have those conversations. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. But if you have any thoughts or want to share your opinions or you want to disagree with us, you can always hit us up on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube, and always email us your thoughts, opinions, eligible bachelors for Kelsey at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com for the culture scientist, for Mrs. Smith, for Kelsey and Teacher Bay. If this podcast is no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. Our fans were forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, in more words, Pastor Pete, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Peace.
Bye, y'all.